Hello, good morning. Today I'm going to muse a little about our friend Prince Philip. I say our friend, not because I remotely even came near to him, but because he is the sort of person anyone can identify with. If you're a very ordinary person, you will see in him the majestic figure that you will have liked to be. If you are an important person, you can afford to criticize him for the so-called gaffes that he has committed every now and then. If you're a young person, you will marvel at the stamina and durability of his commitment to public occasions. And if you're old, you might envy the fact that he's so fit and able at the age of 96. So, where do I fit in this spectrum of people who could give Prince Philip a thought or two? I can tell you he's not very much my senior in age, and as far as I'm concerned, he can also be a role model that, in my much more modest manner, I would wish to emulate. Along the years, I marveled at the totally unassuming manner in which he would be just a step or two behind the Queen, always with at least a faint smile, always upright in posture, and always appearing to enjoy whatever occasion he happens to be engaged in, although it would be obvious to anyone that he cannot possibly enjoy every such occasion. I can never forget his poise during the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, when there was this flotilla of about 1,000 boats on the River Thames. He was standing so upright and straight all through the pageant for hours. At the time, Prince Philip was about 90 years old, and he never showed any signs of flagging or a wish to sit down. Again, at the time, I thought, how can this person sustain such an ordeal? Of course, he and the Queen were buoyed and spurred on by the overwhelming love shown by the people, and I'm sure that without this, both would not be able to endure these events. The statistics about the number of events Prince Philip attended and the tens of thousands of speeches he gave are by now well known. But the one project that I felt was overwhelming in its significance and value, and is still very much so, is the Duke of Edinburgh Award. I have witnessed so many young schoolboys and girls, including my children and grandchildren, take part and win their bronze or silver or whatever. This is a project that will remain time-honoured, extremely useful as a means of challenging young people and bringing out their abilities, and also instill a sense of pride in them for recognition of their achievements. So here is a person who had a rather patchy start in his life. Being of mixed Greek and Danish parents, separated at some stage from his parents because of political upheavals and circumstances, his birth name was the Greek version Philippos. This was rather embarrassing, and he later adopted the English version Philip. We also know of the romance that took place between the prince, not then a princess in the English manner, and the queen, only a Princess Elizabeth at the time. It was a real romance and very promising marriage. Was it to be disrupted in the early death of the Queen's father and her rise to the throne? Well, it could have been. Such an upheaval would test the strongest of relationships. It also required so many adjustments within the relationship and within Prince Philip himself. He has become not just a husband, but a queen's consort. He had to learn so many things about life in the royal household. He probably had to study much of the history, and especially of Prince Albert, his predecessor, as prince consort. All this is not easy, but he was extremely successful in understanding how to conduct himself. He understood his role as a servant to the monarchy and to the nation, and he saw himself as a role model. When reading the Psalms, I came across the verse, this verse that says, "My heart is inditing," that means composing or writing, "a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." So while Prince Philip is not the king, I feel I owe him the good words I have composed for him. And finally, I quote Abdul Baha, the son of Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith, when mentioning our attitude to monarchy. He said, "O ye beloved of the Lord, it is incumbent upon you to be submissive to all monarchs that are just and show your fidelity to every righteous king. Serve ye the sovereigns of the world with utmost truthfulness and loyalty. Show obedience unto them and be their well-wishers. Without their leave and permission, do not meddle with political affairs, for disloyalty to the just sovereign is disloyalty to God himself." I hope these words apply to the Queen and Prince Philip. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.